I think perhaps it's very easy for us to join the 10 other apostles in becoming rather indignant at the request here of James and John, their seemingly foolish boldness in demanding of the Lord these positions at his right and left in glory. And yet I also think that if each of us is honest with ourselves, it's probably the case that we often pray in much the same way as James and John, echoing their words, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." We ask God to do our will. And it's common for us to think our prayer, quote unquote, worked if we got what we asked for, and if we didn't, somehow our prayer was defective. When the truth is that to pray in the true Christian spirit is really to invert this saying completely. It's to say not, "Teacher, I want you to do for me whatever I ask of you," but instead to say to the Lord, "Teacher, I want to do for you whatever you ask of me." Prayer, ultimately, is this hard work of conforming our will to the will of God, which is what we prayed for in our collect this morning. Almighty, ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. When we pray that way, "Teacher, we want to do for you whatever you ask of us," this is really the proper relationship between us and God, between the creature and the creator. It doesn't mean, certainly, that we don't ask God for things. Jesus tells us elsewhere in the gospel to ask, to knock, to seek. He wants us to pray for things, to ask him for things. But underneath should always be this trustful surrender, this confidence that whatever I want, ultimately God knows best. And whether or not I get what I ask for, more deeply than anything else, I want to do the will of God. This is how, for example, Our Lady made her request of Jesus at Cana, that first miracle that our Lord worked. Mary sees the couple running out of wine, and she makes a request of her son. They have no wine. But then she doesn't insist that Jesus do her will. She simply responds then to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." This trust, this confidence that however Jesus responds, whatever he tells them to do is for the best. Perhaps we have in ourselves, especially because of our fallenness and the wound of original sin that marks each of our souls, a certain fear. A fear of subjecting ourselves to God and to his will. A fear that he might be a rather demanding master who requires things of us that we don't want to give. How beautiful then, as our Lord reminds us in today's gospel, that he is anything but a demanding, domineering master. No, in fact, he came among us in the flesh to lay down his life for us, to become the servant of us all. He is, as we heard in our second reading, a high priest who can sympathize with us because he has experienced himself our human weakness. He has taken our humanity upon himself. That truth gives us great confidence, which the letter to the Hebrews also called us to have. Let us approach the throne of grace confidently, with confidence because Jesus is indeed a good master, one who desires even to lay down his life for us. So much does he love us. And so we can approach him with confidence, with great trust in his will. That even if he doesn't in the end give what we ask, he will give what is for the best. Plus, the fact of the matter is, often, what we ask him for in prayer is far less than what he can and desires to give us. How often we ask for merely earthly comforts and remedies and delights. Friday, we celebrated the feast of Saint Teresa of Avila. In her Way of Perfection, she reflects upon this. She says, how often we ask the Lord for riches or delights or honors, for all of these earthly things. And then she says, his love for you is not that small. His love for you is not that small. He wants something far greater for all of us than anything this world can offer. He wants eternal life for us, salvation, holiness, sanctity. He wants to give us something that goes far beyond all the ups and downs, the vicissitudes of this life. He wants to give us a deep, abiding, interior peace that here and now is already a foretaste of heaven. Another saint whose feast we just celebrated reflected upon this, our own patron, Saint Gerard. Yesterday was his feast day. He once commented, who except God can give you peace? And then he asked, has the world ever been able to satisfy the heart? As our Lord teaches us today how to pray with a proper Christian spirit, to come with him with that desire to do for him whatever he asks of us, let us approach him in that way with confidence. And let us trust that if we do that, even if we don't get what we want, we will receive from him that precious gift of interior peace and the promise of life everlasting. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.